right? We're doing something different. I'm going to have a few of the pastoral guys come up, and they're going to, I gave them each a subject to talk about why we should be thankful, and 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Okay, sometimes they have watch issues, okay? But they're going to go 5 minutes. Brother Joseph, why don't you come? Brother Joseph is going to go first. After him, Brother Ross, you just come up. After Brother Ross, Brother Mao, and then Brother Pichardo. Aren't these handsome guys? I didn't think so either. Okay, good. All right, Brother Joseph.
All right, got a timer right here. Starts. He said, as soon as you get in the pulpit, it starts. I was thinking about starting right there, so buy me a little more time, but we won't. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. How about this? For sake of time, I've got probably 7 verses here, 5 minutes, some comments to make. So let me just read this here for us. My topic is we should be grateful because God is our provision and our provider. And aren't you grateful that God provides for us? He said, and I'm going to read it here in a moment. He said, look, he said, if I clothe the grass and the lilies which are here today, fade tomorrow, how much more am I going to provide for my people? Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and Abraham lifted up his eyes, verses 13 and 14, and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, which means what? God will provide. There are many wonderful attributes of God that we could talk about. We could talk about his omniscience. And aren't you glad that no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, God knows? He's also omnipotent. So aren't you glad that, as the rhetorical question he asked himself, is there anything too hard for God? And the resounding answer is what? No, there's not. Aren't you glad that he is omnipresent? Doesn't matter where we are. We could go to the mission field, the other side of the world. We can be in the depths of the sea. We can be in a plane. We can be in outer space. He's there, and he knows where we are. He's also gracious. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God tonight? Where would we be were it not for grace? And I think, you know, I'm so glad it's not us. I'm glad that I wake up in the morning and there's still a sense that God loves me and that I love him and I have a desire to seek him. You say, is that because you're good? The Bible says no one seeks after God. It's God's goodness that leads us to repentance. It's God's goodness that keeps us going. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm also thankful for the mercy of God. Aren't you thankful that God is merciful? Look, aren't you grateful that God is so much more merciful to you and me than we deserve? I sure am. God's merciful. He's love. But tonight, I want to talk about the fact that God is our provider. This Thanksgiving season, let us be thankful for what he's provided. By the way, looking around here, God's been pretty good to us. He's provided for not just us as individuals and families, but for our church. Psalm 37:25 says this, I have been young, now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Aren't you glad looking around here that God has provided all that we need in our food and our daily needs? James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. The Bible says every good gift, every perfect gift comes from who? It comes from God. Has God done some good things for us here today as individuals and as families and as churches? The Bible says that if we have good things in our life, it was provided to us by God. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:3, the Lord Jesus Christ hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. You have peace. You have joy. But Brother Dan and I, we were at someone's, at a family where they had someone pass away a couple days ago. And they looked and they said, you guys have something different. And Dan said, you know, we sorrow, but not as others. Why? Because God's provided joy, peace, hope, and all those things that come with spiritual blessings. 2 minutes left, I'm watching the clock. Matthew 7:11, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father give you, which is in heaven, give good things to them which ask? I'm so glad. As my children would ask for a missionary offering, I don't have a buck. Can I have a buck? And we'll give them a dollar. Or we'll provide food. The Bible says that we have a heavenly Father that even more than we like to give to them, he loves to give good things to us that ask. Matthew 6:30 says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the fields, which today is, tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not more clothe you? I'm so glad for his provisions today. And in the last about minute and a half that I have, there are 4 areas that I'm grateful for as a church and as families that he's provided. And first of all, I'm thankful that he's provided a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. When I was incapable, when I was undeserving, when I was unable by myself to reach heaven alone, I fell short of the glory of God. God so loved the world that he gave. What did he do? He provided his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Secondly, I'm so glad that he's provided a place. That place is our church. And if you listen to the testimonies tonight and on Old Fashioned Day, we talked about those saved, those added to the church over the last 7-8 weeks. We could go on and on and on. Jesus Christ came down, gave his very life for what? The church. The church. So glad he provided a place in the church. Thirdly, he's provided a pastor. And I'm so thankful for our pastor and for his family. The sacrifices that he's made, the vision that he has, and I'm so thankful. We kind of got a sneak peek on the theme for next year. What's it about? Is it about getting into the building? Maybe a little bit. You know what it's about? It's about people. It's about reaching people for God's glory. That's what it's about. I'm so thankful that we have a pastor that has a heart for people, has a heart for God's glory. And finally, I'm thankful for the promise that he will take care of us. He says, but my God shall supply all your needs. God tonight, he's good, he's gracious, he's merciful, he's loving, but he's also our provider, and I'm thankful for that this season.
If you have your Bible, Philippians, real fast, I'll read a verse for you, a couple of verses, Philippians chapter 1. Paul is a lot of things to a lot of people, but probably one of the most important characteristic or important role that he played was the role of a pastor. Paul here says, Paul and Timotheus, in verse 1, the servant of Jesus Christ, all the saints that are in Jesus Christ, which are at Philippi. In verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And he, as he's writing here, he's writing to the church of Philippi, and he's saying, man, I thank God for every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. He loved his people. I thank God here in our church we have a pastor that has a pastor's heart. Some pastors are preachers. Some pastors are pulpiteers. Our pastor, he preaches well, but you know what? He has a pastor's heart. He loves you. Many times he'll come and he'll say, hey, how's so-and-so doing in your Sunday school class? How's this teenager doing? And he prays for you. And he has that pastor's heart. And he has that pastor's heart because he loves you. He loves the people here at Pacific Baptist Church. You know, I get the opportunity to speak to many pastors, and I've been in the ministry for quite some time, and I have the opportunity to just rub elbows sometimes with some people, and they said, you know, your church is known in America. And they'll say, hey, I heard about the church. I remember talking to a pastor. He said, you know, the first time I came here, I was looking forward to it, and he loves coming every time. And he says, I was looking forward to it because I heard so much about Pacific Baptist Church. And of course, the church, they didn't say, hey, I'm looking forward to the church to come to see the tent, because we used to have a tent. They didn't say, hey, I'm looking forward to the church to come to preach, and then people are on the patio and I can see the top of their heads. Probably that's not the reason. But a church is great not because of the building, not because of the facilities, not because of the location, but because of the people. Yes, sir. I thank God for our people. I thank God for the people of Pacific Baptist Church. And the pastor, he has that heart. He says, I thank God, in verse 3, of every remembrance of you. This church is great because we have a great God. Number 2, we have a great pastor. Number 3, we have a great people. Our people are amazing. I've been privileged to be the youth pastor here to work with our teenagers for about 23 or so years, a little bit, probably a little bit over that, working with teenagers. But I've seen... going to Bible college and being around here, I've seen different churches. I've gone to different churches. There's no place like Pacific Baptist Church. I love the Pacific Baptist Church. I was reached here. I got saved somewhere else, but I was reached here. And I was reached here because of the people that spent time to disciple and to help me here at Pacific Baptist Church. I'm thankful for the people of our church. We have a serving people. Man, if something that needs to be done, people volunteer. Sometimes I'll ask, hey, you mind doing that? And I, Pastor, I kind of get scared because I just don't want to invade. And they're like, no, we'll be happy to do it. We'll be happy to come in early. And there's so many people that are like that. You know what? Nobody wants to come over here I spoke kind of improper. There's nobody that wants to come here and drive a bus at 8 o'clock in the morning when we can snooze and sleep, right? So nobody wants to come and visit, go visiting and stuff, but we have great people that come out and do that. We are serving. We have a great church and a great people because you are a serving people. Let me say this, Pacific Baptist Church. Keep it up.
Amen.
Don't get into the syndrome. Oh, I've been here for a long time. I don't want to serve anymore. I thank God we don't have those type of people where old and young can serve.
Amen.
We have a serving people. Not only that, we have a giving people. Man, just the endurance and the just not just endurance, a lot of you give it out with joy, just giving to the Lord and to the work, and when the economy's down, still giving, still plugging away. And let me say this, keep giving. The Bible says, I must work the work of him that sent me while yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. It's not going to be enough time, and we need to keep going, keep serving, keep giving. And we have a great church. We have a patient people. Been in this building program for a long time. Thank God here. Soon and very soon. We're going to see the King. Yes, that song says that. But soon or very soon, you're going to sit in the new chairs in the building. And pastor's going to preach a fiery sermon. And we just have a patient people. We went yesterday to a gymnasium. And my wife said, hey, is our gym going to be this big? I said, Jim, it'll be a little bit bigger. We'll have seats over here, and we'll have a way nicer floor, a way nicer floor. So how nice? As nice as our people want to give money to, amen? We have a great church because we have a great God. We have a great church because we have a great preacher. We have a great church, especially because we have great people. And let me say, Pacific Baptist Church, keep it up. I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for your spirit. Probably one of the coins of our church is we have a very friendly church. Keep it up.
Amen. All right, it's very true from the two preachers here of what they're saying. And I hope you don't take that lightly. Our church is an amazing church. And I can say that. I'm from other churches. And I love my churches that I was a part of. But it's nothing like here. Nothing like home. And I hope you don't take that lightly when you hear those type of things. Man, I'm from Sacramento. Brother, last time I preached, I didn't preach a Bible verse. So Brother Nate made sure I had a Bible verse on this one. And they were talking about me in staff meeting really bad the other day as well, you know. Like, man, what's going on over here? We're going liberal. So, I'm from Sacramento, right? You know what I mean? I call it God's country, you know. And up there, about an hour and a half up there is Chico, California. Where we live at, I mean, there's news that come on the news that literally says, watch out for the mountain lions. They're coming down the hill, right? And watch out for the bears. They're coming down. And there's hunting season up there. It's called duck hunting season, pheasant hunting season. And I kid you not, I'm the only Asian in the whole town. Kid you not, right? It's 80,000 people, and they all dress in camo. They all come around, and they all have their shotguns in the back of their car, and they're getting ready to go shoot these birds. And then we moved to Sacramento. And when Sacramento, what's going on with all these turkeys? Right? If you're driving, Brother Nate told me the other day, he's like, man, I'm driving. I see all these turkeys in Sacramento. They're protected by, the state or the city or whatever it is. You can't touch them, and they literally walk right in front of you. And Thanksgiving Day, my wife's family lives in Sacramento, and Thanksgiving Day, right in front of the house are like 50 turkeys, you know? And I'm thinking to myself, this could be dinner tonight, but you're not allowed to shoot it. You're not allowed to touch these birds. If I were to ask you this question, how many have ever shot a bird? You say yes with the BB gun in the backyard over here, but not like that up there. They all shoot birds up there. And, you know, when I think about birds, I'm not thinking about Brother Bird, right? I'm not thinking about Mrs. Bird, right? There's a story about a king. And this king had a bird. And he bought two birds. They were falcons. They were beautiful falcons. They were one of the most beautiful birds you will ever see. One of the falcon, one of these birds, will fly high up in the air and to find food up in the air. The other one decides, I'm going to sit on a branch and not fly or do anything. I'm going to allow people to just feed me. And so it sits on this branch, and the king hired a bird a keeper who'll teach it how to fly, who'll teach it how to hunt, and teach it how to find food. And while the other one's flying up finding food, the other one is sitting on the branch is just losing weight, and the other one's getting healthy. So one day, because of the fact that he couldn't figure out why this bird wouldn't fly, he said, what kind of person will be able to help me get this bird to fly? And he thought about a farmer. He said, I thought about a farmer. And he told his people to go find a farmer to help this bird to fly. And the farmer came. The farmer saw the bird. And the farmer did one thing. The farmer made the bird fly. And the king asked, what happened? How did you get this bird to fly? And the farmer cut the branch and said, it flew. Simple as that. The bird was in his comfort zone. It was comfortable being where it was. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 5, it says, and not only so, but do we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patient experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There are steps in this area of finding and being thankful for God's plan in our life. You know, God's plan in our life doesn't go the way we plan a lot of times. This year, you got close to quitting this year. But God showed you something this year. God taught you through tribulation, taught you experience from patience. And from there on, taught you hope in something. Through experience, through tribulation. God's plan in our life this year, you saw it unveil before your eyes. Some of us went through some trials in our finances, but we're here today. Some of us got some trials and maybe a death in our family, but we're still here today. Some of us went through some trials in relationship, but we're here today. Some of us got in some type of tribulation in the area of health, your health, but we're here today. And we experience some things in life, and we have it today because God gave us his plan. You see, one day there was a time when I was comfortable in my life, when I would just have a job, provide for my family, paid my bills. But one day God said, I have better plans for you. And I said, don't take me off this branch. And I was skinny. I mean, literally skinny. I didn't have the nutrition I needed. I didn't have the things that I was supposed to have that God wanted to give me. But one day, there was a pastor that came to me and said, at 31 years old, it's time for you to go into the ministry. An old boy, it was hard to cut that branch. It was hard. It was tough at 31 years old with a family, with three kids. And God cut that branch. And I was able to fly. And I was able to find God's plan. I'm going to finish with this verse and Brother Pichardo will finish off. The Bible says here in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. At the end of our life, do we find God's plan? At the end of our life, do we get to say, God, thank you for showing me your plan? You see, God says here, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God knows your thoughts. God has a thought towards you. God knows everything, the plan for you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace. We all want peace in our life. We all want joy in our life. We all want that happiness. But we have to go through some things, the tribulations, experience, patience, and hope. And these are just some of the things that God has helped me out. I pray that it helped you in this area of being thankful for God's plan that happened in your life this year.
Amen. This is a Thanksgiving week, and we know that this is a good time to reflect on all the things that God has done for us. And by the way, God has done so much for all of us, and this is also a good time not only to think all the things, reflect on that, and also things that he can do for us and he will do for us. You know, there are three things in I personally try to thank God for every day. First of all, is for his daily provision, daily protection. And thank God for the protection he gives us every day, and then his daily provision, just like Brother Joseph said, and his daily promises. You know, I'm thankful for God's providence. The word providence, according to the Webster 1828 dictionary, says it's the act of providing or preparing for future use or application. It also says it's the care and supervision which God exercises over his creatures. See, in Psalms chapter 34, Pastor Myers preached on this chapter a couple weeks ago. If you read the whole chapter, you'll see King David experiencing God's providence in his life. In verse 8, he said, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him." See, there are things in the Christian life which can only be understood by being experienced. You know, it's really hard to understand it unless you experience it. And sometimes it's even hard to explain unless someone had gone through it. Let me give you an illustration. This past week, we had our couples retreat. And all the couples that went, we got to experience something wonderful. You know, we had really good preaching and teaching. We had really good fellowship. And then we had really good food. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all the couples that went, we got to eat Phil's barbecue. By the way, that's good stuff right there. How many of you here, you haven't tried Phil's barbecue yet? Let me raise your hand, please. Not too bad, it's only in San Diego. But you know what? We can talk all about it all night long, but if you haven't really, you know, we can talk about the juiciness, the tenderness, and all that good stuff, but if you haven't really tried it, you won't really understand what we're talking about. And see, in Psalms 34, verse 8, when the psalmist said, "Oh, taste and see," he's giving an invitation here to experience God's protection. He said in verse number 4, "I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." In verse number 6, he said, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." In verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." He gave us to experience his protection, and then secondly, to experience his provision. In verse number 9 and 10, he said, "Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." In verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." And then lastly, he said here, to experience his promises. In verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry." See, this is what the psalmist was trying to describe in this chapter. Yes, he was going through a lot of turmoil. He was going through a lot of distress. He's going through a lot of a difficult situation. And maybe that's some of you tonight. You're going through some problems or some heartaches or some trials, and just like this psalmist. But in the midst of all this, God's providential care was upon him. Thank God for his providence. No wonder the psalmist can say, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him." Pastor Mark.